Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together for 10 minutes and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair, which is fine. And if you're in a chair, please try to sit with your feet flat on the floor unless that hurts, in which case don't do it. Just sit comfortably. This week, I want to continue and conclude our conversation about magic. We've been talking about magic on three levels, and this is the third level. There'll be links to the first two videos here if you want to watch them or review them, but you don't have to. Magic, I was positing, rises on three levels: outer, inner, and secret, which is a notion that exists throughout Vajrayana Buddhism, that all phenomena arise simultaneously in an outer way, an inner way, and a secret way. Secret doesn't mean it's a secret from you. It means you can't see it. It's ineffable. So outer magic, I suggested, comes from the way you treat your environment, the way you care about it, the way you order it, the way you keep it, the way you feel about it, the amount of heart that you put into it. It's out here, outer magic. And then the environment begins to feed back to you something magical. Inner magic comes from the way you treat yourself, this body, the way you clothe it, the way you eat, the way you feel in your body, which doesn't mean you're supposed to wear fancy clothes and eat healthy food. You can eat whatever you want and wear whatever you want. It just means you care. You care about yourself. So on the outer level, you care about your environment and it becomes kind of sacred, kind of magical. You care about yourself and you discover a source of confidence and equanimity that could be considered magical. And now finally, secret magic. This video is going to be very short because there's not a lot to say about it because it is ineffable, and the efforts that we make to describing what cannot be described often create more confusion than clarity. So secret magic, and these are suggestions, you investigate yourself and see what you think, is something like seeing everything that arises as sacred. Not holier than thou, not woo-woo, but as brilliant in a way, just because it is. I can't explain it better than that because I don't understand it myself. But to really pause and be present, not because you're trying to be a good person or a good meditator, but because this is your life and you want to experience it and you want to be one with it, in a sense. I know I'm not doing a very good job of explaining this. So the best I can do is share with you two things that, for me, rouse a sense of magic, secret magic, which means the magic that is inherent in all phenomena and is so omnipresent and so all-pervasive and so inclusive of ourselves that we can't see it because we can't step outside of ourselves to see ourselves. It is everywhere. So the first way, and this is, again, just a suggestion, is to do what in the Buddhist tradition is called make offerings. Now, this is not religious in any way. And it doesn't even mean having a shrine like I do back here with things on it. Those things are offerings. It means as you partake in the events of your life, as you open your mouth to speak, as you sit down at a table to eat, as you write an email, as you embrace a loved one, as you argue with someone, so all the things of your life, in the moment that you step into those activities, you also offer them. I offer this. To who? That I don't know. But I offer my good moods, my bad moods, my ideas, my confusion, so that they can somehow benefit all beings. Now, I don't know how my grumpiness or my good ideas or bad ideas can benefit all beings, but I can still offer them. And that sense of offering reminds me that I'm connected to this world, to what is. And I'm not just trying to find magic and goodies within myself, although I hope you do find such things, but I'm remembering that there is no separation between me and you. So just a very brief story that in some way invokes this quality of offering. And if you've heard me tell this story before, please indulge me and hear it again. I've written about it. It was a very potent moment for me. So I was staying at a friend's house in New York City. This is 10 years ago or something. And she was going to have another house guest in addition to me, a Tibetan translator who had just arrived from India, where he lived, and was going to begin working for a great Tibetan teacher as his translator. So when he got to her house, my friend and I were already there, and he was telling us a story about what happened to him on the way from the airport to my friend's apartment. He landed, he took a bus, I believe, to Port Authority, and then he was walking out of Port Authority to take a taxi to her apartment, and before he exited Port Authority, he was pickpocketed. He didn't realize it till he was in the taxi. Everything was gone. His money, his passport, and his ticket home. Now this very brilliant scholar and lovely person was like barely 5 feet tall and very slight and wearing robes. And that is not neither here nor there, except for me, the idea of this very small person dressed in a way that the rest of us are not accustomed to, trying to wade through getting a new passport and a ticket. Just it hurt me. He seemed very vulnerable, in other words. So as he's telling the story, I'm like, okay, he's a really great practitioner, because only great practitioners can be translators for wonderful teachers. So I'm wondering, well, did he react the way I would, which would be to get angry and feel resentful and why me and various things. So after a while, I said to him, weren't you angry? Were you angry when you discovered that you had been robbed? And he said, yes, at first I was, but then I offered it. And that was incredible. That was amazing. So on one level, what he did with this violation was he turned it around in his mind to something that had been taken from him to something that was offered. Now, people are hurt in very bad ways in this world, and I'm not suggesting you can make it okay by saying, well, I'm giving it to you. So please, please don't hear that. But he, in my imagination, as I'm guessing this, was like, it's going to be more harmful to me to stew and be angry. And it's going to be more empowering for me to retrofit this event as something I gave. And he wasn't trying to play a trick on himself, as far as I could tell. He was saying, okay, you took it from me, but actually now I'm giving it to you. So I'm offering it. So even in this, you know, very, very unpleasant circumstance, I learned from him that you can make an offering. And that reminds you, because when he told me this story, it reminded me of the magic of being human on this earth. I hope that makes sense. I'd love to know what you think. So, the second way I can think of to convey secret magic, what it is, and actually it conveys all the kinds of magic, is that the forms of magic are embedded in our meditation practice, which we're going to do momentarily. So you could say that outer magic the magic of this environment, we rouse a sense of connection to by the way we take our posture. There's an outer element to our meditation practice, and it's this body sits down to meditate. And in this sense, we sort of are becoming a little more familiar with what is meant by outer magic. Inner magic in our meditation practice is invoked by letting ourselves be as we are. We're not trying to fix anything, we're not trying to change anything, we're not trying to be even a good meditator. We're just relaxing with ourselves as we are. And that creates a really amazing opening, an amazing opening of gentleness toward yourself and others. Don't take my word for that or anything. Investigate for yourself and see. And finally, secret magic, you could say, and I'm making this up, so take it with a grain of salt, is invoked every time we let go in our meditation practice. We notice we're absorbed in thought, no problem, and then let go, let go, let go. Every time we let go of a thought, there's a gap, there's a space. And then, of course, we come back to our breath and breathing, breathing, thinking, thinking, no problem, distracted, let go. And we find that we can always let go. The thought might come right back and smack us in the face, but that's okay. We can let go again. So we can always let go, let go, let go, and come back. And coming back, when we come back, what we come back to is this moment and all the magic that that implies. So I hope this is good food for thought. Interesting? Do let me know. And now let's sit. So please establish your posture from the ground up. Your legs are crossed or your feet are flat on the floor, unless that hurts, in which case just sit comfortably. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Feel rooted from the waist down and light from the waist up. Sit up straight, not stiff. Straight and stiff are different. Just draw yourself up a little bit as a sort of expression of your elegance. And let the front body soften. The belly, the area around your heart, your throat, your shoulders can soften down the back. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth are slightly parted. And the breath is natural, in and out through the nose, meaning no breathing technique, just breathing, which you're already quite expert at. The eyes are open because we're practicing being here, because here is where the magic is. And the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And let the eyes soften. Not trying to grip anything with our vision. Rather, there's more of a sense of vision mixing with space. And if you are visually impaired, you can do this through the ears. And let the brows soften. Now let your attention come to rest on the breath, meaning feel the body breathe rather than observe the body breathe. Just feel it. It's happening whether you pay attention to it or not. Feel the inhale and the exhale. And let your attention rest on this wave of breath. The mind loves to rest on the breath, it would appear. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, no problem. As best you can, let them be in the background while your breath is in the foreground. Most of your thoughts will just come and go. You don't have to do anything about them. We're not trying to shoot them down by noticing thinking. Just you don't have to do anything. They'll come and go. Only if you notice that you have become fully absorbed in a line of thought, which means you are no longer aware of your breath. You're not feeling the breath anymore. Very good. First step is notice that. You can label it silently to yourself, thinking. It's different than meditating, thinking. Then just let go. Let go. Gently come back to this breath and begin again, feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together in silence for a few minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. I'll see you next week.